the biomimetic dentist that is changing lives.
Let's see if he's really cracked up to what he says he is. And the answer was, you are.
Well, that I always like to be legit. I like to, if you're going to sell something, you know, provide the service and the good. So my evaluation for you was what you were looking for.
Well, it was even more. It was not just a matter of finding some issues, but very clearly documenting those issues. I'm big on documentation. I think the photographs, as well as the x-rays, as well as the overall evaluation of what was going on with my mouth, my jaw, and actually mapping everything out, including the gum situation, which had not been done for almost 40 years.
Oh, wow.
I haven't had any dentist do that since back in 19, early 80s, I think. That's what told me, okay, we're not just taking a cursory look at the situation. We're taking it an overall look, a total reevaluation of what's going on. That was the big change, deciding to go proceed with the process.
Your dental consumer advocate is Dr. Randy Shoup. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Learn more about the doc and his mission at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And you know, this is where you come to become smarter, more educated, a more informed medical, dental, health, wellness, nutrition consumer. You'll learn information here that you'll never learn anywhere else, and it will all be focused in helping you make high-quality healthcare decisions that make the rest of your life a really, really terrific place to be. And so, we'll start out the day like we always do in Dental School 101, and I'm going to make a bold statement. There is absolutely, positively no reason for any child to get a cavity in today's world. And if you are a parent or you are the dentist of children that are getting cavities, I'm telling you what, you're letting people down, and I'm going to show you the science behind it. And in Ask the Expert, we're going to dispel a myth about the big dumb jock, the athlete, and all he is either muscles or you're going to have kids on the other end of the spectrum that are the intellects. And we're going to dispel that entire myth that you are either one or the other. And I'm going to actually prove to you scientifically that there is data and research that the more fit you are, the smarter you are. And you get to meet my good friend, John. Now, he had been away from dentistry for a long time. And as those periods of time built up, his fear built up that he was in worse and worse and worse condition, almost to the point where he was refusing to go, worrying, fearing about the news he was going to get. He finally got enough courage to come see me, and he's going to tell you what we found together and how tremendous it was that we were able to give him some mental relief as well as dental therapy. But first, is it possible you can sniff your way to a better memory? I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Look at me. I'm the one telling you how it is.
Well, you know, we like to think about things that are really off the beaten path a little bit. And is it possible, could it be that you could sniff or smell your way actually to a better memory? Listen to this. A team of scientists has shown that sniffing rosemary can increase the memory by 75%. This multi-purpose medicinal herb offers numerous health benefits, due to which has been commonly used throughout history. One interesting fact is that ancient Greeks wore rosemary springs in their hair while studying for their exams. This amazing herb has been used to boost long-term memory and alertness for millennia. Even the famous William Shakespeare mentions the incredible benefits of the rosemary in Hamlet. This study was conducted by the Northumbria University in Newcastle in England. They found that smelling rosemary is related to, quote-unquote, an enhancement of performance for overall quality of memory and secondary memory factors. After 10 years, these scientists scientifically explained the cognitive boosting abilities of the herb. Namely, the experts followed 20 people as they performed subtraction exercises and visual information processing tasks and other tests. They assessed the mood of the participants before and after exposure to the rosemary scent, and they also took blood samples. The study involved 66 people altogether, and they were randomly assigned to either the rosemary-scented room or another room that had no scent in it whatsoever. The findings were amazing, as the rosemary smell significantly increased the memory of the participants. Namely, people in the rosemary 60 to 75% better on remembering events to completing task and also recalled things much better than the other participants. This is really cool. Check this out. Additionally, blood samples showed that the blood of the participants exposed to the rosemary-scented room had detectable levels of, it's called 1,8-cineoli, which is an active compound in rosemary. This means that this compound was absorbed into the bloodstream, and the higher the levels, the better the results were. So we thought rosemary primarily just stayed in your nasal passages and in your lungs, but come to find out, the active ingredient in rosemary actually gets absorbed. Due to the carnosinic and rosmarinic effect, these chemicals fight free radicals, and they repair the damage of free radicals. They prevent, listen to this, beta-amyloid-induced neurodegeneration. Beta-amyloid-induced neurodegeneration is what you and I call Alzheimer's. So they're finding that the chemicals inside rosemary that actually get into your bloodstream have a direct effect of reducing these beta amyloids, which causes dementia. Now, so if you want to improve your memory, if you want to be able to solve problems better like the Greeks used to do, put some rosemary sprigs around your head and go take a test, or put it in a vaporizer, or put it in one of those essential oil vaporizers in your house, and you will have beneficial effects simply from the tremendously beneficial herb rosemary. And there you have it. Now, up next, there is no reason for any child in the United States, or anywhere for that matter, to have a cavity ever again. And I'll tell you how right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. He talks about what other dentists don't want to talk about. He creates custom plans for every patient because it's not about in-the-box billables. Time to think outside the box as a dental consumer. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. We've compiled years of resources at DTSradio.com. Listen, then hit the site. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And this whole topic kind of dropped into my lap again by a group of patients that came to see me, a whole family, and they had come to see me primarily because where they were going, their children had cavities that needed to be drilled on and restored every time they went to their dentist. They actually went to two different dentists because they got tired of one. And they'd heard me on the radio, so they thought, okay, all we have to do is pick a different one and it'll be different. And so they go to the second dentist, and the second dentist has the exact same thing. The children go to the dentist's office. Every 6 months, the children get their checkups, and the dentist always comes out and tells the parents, hey, little Johnny, little Sally has one or two or three cavities, and we need to put fillings in their teeth. And the parents were distraught, dismayed. The kids didn't like getting numbed up. They didn't like getting their teeth drilled on at all. Who would blame them? And so they decided to try one more time. So virtually in real, honest-to-gosh desperation, they came to me and asked, what would I do? That brings me to our topic today, that there is no reason that a child in today's world, certainly in the United States and certainly around the world, if they are given at least a modicum of modern dental thinking, we have the ability to give a child a 90% chance that they will never have a cavity ever, ever, ever in their life. And let me tell you about the science. Here's the deal. What we used to think about, what we were taught in dental school, what we're taught in school all about cavities is sugar. Is that if you eat a lot of sugar, you are going to get cavities. And so if you get cavities, it's your fault because you ate too much sugar. It's real simple. So if you were to go to the dentist and the dentist looks in there and says, you have cavities, the dentist steps back and folds his or her arms and looks at you and goes, well, you've been eating too much sugar. The cavities are your fault. I'm here to tell you that cavities are not your fault. They are the fault of you being inoculated with a strain of bacteria, primarily strep mutans, and the strep mutans bacteria came to you as a little child, probably from your mom or your dad or your primary caregivers, and that bacteria has been inhabiting your mouth for all these years, waiting for teeth to show up, and once the teeth show up, the strep mutans bacteria love hard surfaces of teeth. They then lop onto the teeth, and they do something absolutely magical. You and I, when we were taught bacteria and biology and microbiology back in high school, we thought about bacteria as little independent, free-floating critters, kind of like fish in the ocean. They're in big groups, but they're individual. One can spin off and go someplace else. That is the farthest thing from the truth. That's not how bacteria live. Bacteria live, and what strep mutans does so efficiently, is that strep mutans will find a hard surface like a tooth, and it lands on the surface of the tooth, this little strep mutans bacteria, and its entire body changes. It becomes this kind of gooey gelatinous mass called a mucopolysaccharide, and it exudes this goo. It sends out electrical signals and it sends out chemical signals out of its little cell walls that attract other strep mutans bacteria. And literally, this has all been photographed and documented. You can see little bacteria that would normally be swimming past where this little stuck bacteria is. They'll turn and swim towards it. They'll get involved with and embedded in the goo from the original bacteria, and they start doing the same thing. And then two more, and then four more, eight more, 16 more. It is this huge progression, and they form what's called a biofilm. You and I have talked about biofilms at length on this program about it is really the mechanism by which bacteria make disease in the human body. And that's what a cavity is. A cavity is the expression of a disease state that you have because you are infected with a bacteria, strep mutans, and what the bacteria does, these bacteria are called acidogenic and acidophilic. The acidogenic means they generate acid. They literally eat whatever they can find, and they pee acid on your tooth. They generate acid. Acidophilic means that's the environment they really, really like. They have an affinity for, they are affiliated, aphilic, with acidic environments. So the more acidic the environment, the more pop you drink, which is highly acidic, the more Western diets you eat, which is highly acidic, the more these bacteria flourish. The healthy bacteria, the nice bacteria, the kind and gentle bacteria, we call them commensal, they're the ones that are good for you, hate an acidic environment. They don't live in an acidic environment. They die in an acidic environment. So they take off. So what happens is these strep mutans bacteria find the biting surface of your tooth that has all those deep trenches and grooves in it. And I tell people, in terms of having a picture in your mind, okay, think about this. Let's say you're having a new shower or a new backsplash on your kitchen counter, or you're having the pavers put on your patio, and they always fill up the cracks with grout, right? They grout the cracks. In the human tooth, on the occlusal surface, the biting surface, the grooves are really deep, and there is no grout. So imagine all the junky, gunky stuff that would accumulate in your shower or in your backsplash on your kitchen if they didn't have grout, if stuff could get down in those grooves. You could scrub and wipe across the tiles all day long, never cleaning out the grooves, right? That's exactly what happens on teeth. Now, dentistry has invented something a long time ago called a dental sealant, which was designed to protect the top of the tooth from all of these cavities. But the problem is, sealants, as I was taught in dental school, as they teach in dental school yet today, looks at the top of that tooth, because they don't have microscopes like we do. They don't see the deep, deep grooves. They don't see all the spaces where the grout should have been that's now filled with this biofilm that's made by these strep mutans bacteria. They don't see that because they don't have enough magnification. So they just take a rag or a toothbrush or some gadget and just polish off the top of the tooth, and then they slather this sealant on the top of the tooth and think they're really doing a great thing. They're doing the worst thing possible because they're sealing in, they're entombing, they are protecting those bacteria that are down inside the tooth. Now, I know the dentist will say, well, if there's any bacteria in there, they're just going to die, because they don't have a food supply. That's absolutely, positively wrong. It's just old science. It doesn't make any sense. The only way that you can protect this tooth is to clean out the grout grooves, on the top of the tooth. You clean it out with a microscopic, teeny, itsy tiny sandblaster. It's called air abrasion, and you use this aluminum oxide. It looks like flour. It's so fine and it's so light, it looks like flour. But you can actually sandblast the grooves clean. Isn't that what you would do? If you were doing tiles on your patio, or if you had to clean out the tiles between in your shower, you would get some sort of power washer, or you would get some sort of sandblaster to sand all that out. Then, when all the junky stuff is gone, then you would come back in and seal the cracks closed so that the stuff never got in there in the first place. That's what high quality sealants do. Those are the sealants that I put on kids' teeth. So many of us in the biomimetic world put those kind of sealants on kids' teeth. We don't trap the bacteria down inside the grooves, because those bacteria are still alive. They're still well. They're still healthy. They're still peeing acid down on the inside of the tooth. And it's so common to have these sealants pop completely off, the old-fashioned ones, and find a cavity growing huge underneath of them. I never want that to happen. If you put the sealant on with the air abrasion system and the biomimetic system that I'm talking about, they never come out and they never leak, and the tooth never gets a cavity on the biting surface of the tooth. And if you do those steps, you can pretty darn well promise a kid will never get a cavity on the biting surfaces of their teeth. That's where 90% of the cavities happen anyway. So, is there any reason in the world a kiddo should be still getting cavities on the tops of their teeth today? Heck no. We understand the science. We understand the microbiology. We have the technology. We have the sandblasters. We have the microscopes that allow us to see down inside of there. And we have all of the skill set that we need to clean out the grout grooves on the top of your tooth, seal them up with this sealer material, and the whole process stops, ends, is over. Bacteria will never get back down into the grout grooves on the top of your tooth because there's stuff in there that's sealed up. And so kids, stop having cavities. I've told this to parents for years. They don't believe me. If I do sealants on the top of your kid's teeth, and if at any time ever they get a cavity on the top of their tooth where I put the sealants, I'll fix the filling for free. I've never had anybody cash in on that because it never had happened. It's amazing. But it's simply following the science, understanding the limitations of the old way of doing it new school rather than old school, and you can literally stop your children from ever having cavities ever, ever, ever. And if you do this process to young children when their 6-year molars come in, when their 12-year molars come in, when their bicuspids come in, as soon as the teeth come in to where you can see them and get to them, if you seal them, they'll never have a cavity ever. It's absolutely amazing, and it's day in and day out. It's not Star Wars. It's not exotic. It's not, oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. This is out there in the world. We biomimetic dentists have been doing it for years. It's just that we're having a hard time getting everybody else to catch up. But it is true that it is possible for your children, and you for that matter, to never have a cavity ever, ever, ever again. And that's the truth. There you go. So, up next, we are going to dispel the myth that if you are either going to be a big dumb jock or you are going to be a brainchild. You've got a choice. Can they both work together? Oh, you bet. And I'm going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at dtsradio.com. Do not settle for the dentist that's located 10 minutes away from you. A convenient location doesn't translate to the best treatment. Do not settle for repeated procedures like multiple crowns that can lead to multiple root canals. It's not supposed to be that way. It's about preserving the tooth, whole mouth, and whole body health. That's the philosophy of the Dr. Shoup Show. Contact us at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup. Yes, I am a dream.
Well, it's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And you know, I run across a lot of research papers, a lot of different articles, and for some reason or another, I have a knack of kind of remembering them, and I keep them all in this gigantic stack folder thing in this file system that I have. And I'll see an article, read it, and it'll kind of put a little kind of its own little electronic tag on my brain. And then several months later, I'll read some other piece of information. And these two pieces of information came to me in two totally separate time periods and two totally separate publications of scientific literature, but they have one of those famous Uncle Randy tie-ins that I'm going to give to you right now. So you and I have labored probably over the years with this misconception that you are either going to be big, strong, jock type person that maybe is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, maybe is not the kid you want to copy off of when you're doing the algebra exam, or you're the kid across the aisle from this one who is a smaller, kind of weaker, nerdier, has thick glasses, but is acing every test. You've kind of got one or the other. You got the big dumb jock, or you got the little skinny weakly little kind of academic brainchild kid. Those are absolutely, positively false and incorrect, because there is some really compelling scientific information that is shedding light on how our bodies, our physical being, our health, our strength, our well-being is directly correlated to our intellect, how smart we are, how well we can learn. And so frequent phys ed classes not only improve your ability to be fit in, if you're a child, I'm talking about kids in school now. So frequent phys ed classes not only improve a kid's physical health, their physical fitness, but it also seems to encourage healthy living. It helps to encourage an awareness of health and well-being. It seems to trigger an awareness of time and time management. And we find that kids that are engaged in this physical activity tend to score higher on academic and in intellect achievement tests than the kids who are not physically active. And so this comes out of all of that. You've seen ads on the television during NFL that play 60. They want children to exercise pretty vigorously for 60 minutes a day, for an hour a day, at least 5 days a week. Now, when it was, back in the older days when I, walked uphill both directions to school barefoot in the snow and, chopped logs, which none of that happened. But when we thought about those things back in the nostalgia, we indeed were significantly more physically active as children. Children tend to live a more sedentary life unless you are involved in some specific organized physical sport, like if you play soccer, play baseball, if you're organized in that sort of thing. We kids used to jump on our Stingray bicycles and terrorize the neighborhood, and we'd be gone, from the time school was out until it was time for supper, and that was how we existed. But here's the thing that this study out of the university from Oregon State University, here's what they found. Physical activity has been shown to improve thinking and academic achievement in those children participating in this 60 minutes, five times a week program over those children that did not participate in the 60 minutes a day for 5 days a week. It also helped develop knowledge and interest and skills in lifelong health maintenance programs, according to the researchers. And so by simply participating in this, now think about it. If kids are out exercising on a regular basis, they are interacting with other kids. They are setting priorities. They are thinking about time management. They are learning social skills because they're having to interact with other people. It builds so much more than just the phys ed. So when your school starts to tell you that they're going to really curtail back phys ed, physical exercise, recess time, all that sort of things for your school, don't think that it's an okay zero sum, that it won't affect your children, because it absolutely positively will. This study out of Oregon State University supports all that. Now, the second article came across my desk was from a journal of microbiology, and they were looking at cellular structure of human beings, and could possibly exercise alter the cell structure. In other words, is there a fountain of youth that is available to adults? And they found, yes, there is. And what this study found was high-intensity exercise may help older adults reverse, not keep it the same, but reverse certain aspects of the cellular aging process, this new study suggests. That's the type of workout that they're talking about. Combines brief bursts of vigorous exercise with periods of moderate exercise. A person might, for example, go all out on a stationary bicycle for, let's say, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, minute and a half, whatever you can do. And then they would ease up for the next 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes, whatever you could do, and then start again with the high vigorous activity. It's called interval training. You can do it with a treadmill. You can do it with a bicycle. You can do it with a stair climber. You can do it with free weights. You can do it with P90X kind of exercises. You can do it in a variety of different ways, but you simply have these bursts of high-intensity exercise followed by areas of moderate exercise to where you can catch your breath. What does this do? It's clear it alters the mitochondria of your cell. The mitochondria inside of a cell, inside of an individual human cell, there's all kinds of things. There's the nucleus, there's the cytoplasm, there's the lysosomes, and there's this one little mass called the mitochondria. It happens to be the energy producer. It's the engine. It's the generator of human existence. Mitochondria take in a compound called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and it burns some of it off in energy, and that ATP turns into an ADP, adenosine diphosphate, and then it burns off some more energy, and it becomes an AMP, adenosine monophosphate, and that's the spent one, that's the empty one, it doesn't have much energy. And then, like on your Starbucks card, the AMP can be recharged up to an ATP, and the whole process starts again. So you can literally change the cellular activity of your body by doing this interval training, high bursts of exercise, followed by periods of lower exercise, and then followed by high bursts of exercise again. Isn't this amazing? Now, up next, you're going to meet my buddy John. He had not been to the dentist in a long, long time and was petrified of what we were going to find. He'll tell you that we saved him right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. We're leading the biomimetic dentistry revolution. Microscope Dentistry by Shoup believes in saving you money long-term, not giving you repeat billables. We preserve your natural tooth structure for better long-term stability. Sit down with a doc for your one-on-one conversation. Schedule your appointment now at drshoup.com. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. And as you all know, this is indeed my favorite part of the program. You get to meet really good friends of mine, some old, some new. And today, you get to meet somebody that's really, really new to our office. And we've got John on the line. John, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. Good, Dr. Shoup.
he's getting all formal and everything while we're on the radio. This is really great. But John and I have just met, and I really think we're going to have a really cool time together. A really sharp guy, has done a myriad of things in the business world, and has a couple of new ventures that he's breaking out and trying to put together and form. But over a period of time, John, you were telling me that, and I'll share with the folks, it had been a stretch of time because of some variety of circumstances. You'd been away from dentistry, and now it was time to get back, and you came to the office with a lot of trepidation or fear. You thought things were going to be a disaster, and happily we were able to tell you they weren't quite as bad. So that had to make you feel better.
Trepidation is probably a good word. Well, not complete fear, but definitely trepidation.
And so what were you imagining it was going to be?
Well, I guess, with life, sometimes it's a roller coaster. You got ups and downs, and we've had some, like everybody maybe, our own challenges. And
sure.
So, like you said, I'm coming back to the dental world. I can't believe we ever sort of took a pause from it. But life sometimes, you know, throws you a curveball, if you will.
Sure.
And I guess kind of jumping forward, you know, I was fortunate enough to hear you on the radio, and that intrigued me right away. I like, well, I like about everything. I like science, and I like anybody that's really passionate about what they do in their industry and their profession, and that's the way you struck me. So maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I got to know you, I feel like, you know, a lot before you got to know me, because I got to hear several of your radio shows, and I started listening probably maybe one or two times a month. I think you're on, you know, every Saturday, but I would probably make the airwaves make your show at least twice a month. And the things you talked about to me were always, I would say, cutting edge. I guess I would sum up Dr. Shoup like, this guy is really a student of the dental world. He's definitely passionate about his profession, and I feel like I need somebody to not maybe just do the same old routine stuff. I wanted somebody that I felt that was really knowledgeable in the dental profession.
You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Shoup, and you're listening to a new good friend of mine, John, who has made the transition and has come up to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. And like you said, John, and thank you very much for those comments. You had been away for a while, and now you were, you know, at a position and had the motivation and heard me to come up to the office. So there was trepidation and a little bit of fear and of the unknown coming into the office. Once you and I sat down and started to have a conversation, once you and I started to create a game plan and did our comprehensive exam together, how did things turn for you?
Better.
Good.
Definitely better. I was greeted by you're surrounded by, you know, sharp, pretty girls. So that obviously makes your day probably go a lot better, Dr. Shoup.
Well, thank you.
But Rhonda, she's at the front desk, and she literally helped me and, you know, answered several questions. And then you with the examination, and Amy helped me there. I guess you'd say, you know, you helped put somebody at ease. You know, the dental world is right there, literally, you could say right there in your face. I mean, you're, you know, front and center. So trepidation or, you know, a little nervousness, you made me quite at ease.
Well, I'm glad we were able to kind of, you know, still the waters a little bit, kind of calm the turbulence and let us work through it. And then, you know, since we have, you know, looked at things, done the examination, so forth, and I gave you kind of a thumbnail sketch of where you were and what things I think we needed to go to. Then you got to transition and meet Sharon, and Sharon is going to be a major player in terms of getting the gum tissue back into health and so forth. And so I think we gave you a pretty bright picture. There's some things that we need to do for sure, but it's all very manageable, and that's got to make you feel better.
On a scale of 10, I'd say, you know, give it a 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10 as far as feeling more comfortable. I was uneasy and a little bit embarrassed because it's just not our regular, you know, modus, you know, the way we run our life. We try to be a good citizen, a decent person, you know, clean hygiene and all those good things, and throw some money in the bank.
Sure.
And it makes you feel a little bit less when you're not, you know, as they say, hitting on all eight cylinders.
You know, John, what you said right there is really, really important, and we get this a lot, and you know, you mentioned about being a little bit embarrassed, and when people have circumstances in life that keeps them from being at going to the dentist or taking care of themselves in any sort of way, they start to imagine and dream that things are much worse than what they are, and they become embarrassed about it, a little bit of shame. I'm ashamed that I let myself go, kind of attaches to it. You can get some real guilt about having not gone and so forth, and all those things manifest into keeping you away even more. And then the more you stay away, the bigger those feelings grow. And for you to come in and address those things and handle them and tackle them, that's a really important thing that you just said. And I really am proud of you for being able to say it, because a lot of people that are listening have not been to the dentist in a long time. They know they have things that need to go, but they worry about going to an office and being shamed, being have fingers wagged at them, being lectured to or talked down to.
Right.
And man, we
right.
never, ever, ever want to do that for anybody. I think I told you, I said, when everybody walks through the door at my office, we grant absolution to everybody. Everybody starts with a clean slate.
Well, you definitely feel that with your office. I mean, your crew is really top notch. I'm not just saying this.
Well,
top notch, super friendly, and super professional. I mean, I go back to Rhonda, Amy, and Sharon, and I think the other lady's name is Quay, maybe.
Sure.
Who helped us.
Yep.
But very thorough, very professional, helped me. Everybody put me at ease. You know, and I probably, like, make probably a human nature, you know, kind of build up your own internal anxiety. And maybe it isn't, you know, as big as it really, you know.
Sure.
You make it out to be bigger in your own mind.
Right.
Than maybe it really is.
Yep.
So, and then you got a professional or somebody that's in that field, and they say, you, in this case, we can handle this. Like, well, great.
There you go.
Okay.
You hit a home run.
All right.
Well, John, listen, I have kept you long enough, my friend. Thank you very, very much for sharing your story with all of my listeners. It's really an important one, and it's one that I'm sure you've helped a lot of people, because you've shared, you know, that amount of intimacy with them. So I'm very proud of you. I applaud you for it. Thank you very, very much. And so I'll let you go, my friend, and I'll see you at the office next time. But again, my sincere thank yous for being on and sharing your story. Thank you.
Dr. Shoup?
Yes, sir.
Very quickly, and I know we'll wrap this up.
No, you're good.
I want to say two things. The biggest thing, I think, of all the things we've talked about, the next biggest thing is we sat down at a little round table, you, myself, and Rhonda, and you personally took the time, way over 30 minutes, to kind of get to know each other.
Sure.
And that was another... To me, that was big, it was gigantic. And then, of course, after that, you know, we did more of the game plan and laid out the official game plan on what, you know, the different steps we're going to take, which, like you said, is quite manageable.
Sure.
But I really appreciate the time that you gave me personally. I mean, I think it gave you my background, my family, and things like that. And you talked to me about, you know, you did things in Africa, and you got your grandkids going on right now. And, you know, you kind of... Really, like you said, we are new friends, but you feel like we're going to be friends for a long time. So, well, that's it. That's it at my end.
Well, John, I am honored by that, and you pay me a huge compliment, and I'm humbled by it, and I thank you very, very much.
Okay.
All right, my friend. I will see you at the office next time.
We'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye.
Yes, sir.
Well, there you have it. I certainly hope you had a good time today. I hope you enjoyed the topics. And if you're that family that has come to me with your children riddled with decay, I don't want you to despair. You're in the right place. We are absolutely going to get a handle on this, and we are going to get your children cavity-free and cavity-free for a long, long time. So thank you very much for bringing them to me. It's always a pleasure. Now, I want to go ahead and remind you again, not only are we on the radio, but we are on television with WHMB TV 40. You'll have to look at your cable listing and find which channel we're on. Thursdays from 11:30 a.m. until noon, and it is the Dr. Shoup Show, and we will have guests on from literally around the world talking about one specific topic that is going to make a major impact in your health and your well-being. So I want you to join us. So until you and I chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, baby, the whole world smiles.